Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Hey, friend.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Nope. Thanks for asking. I'm going to ask you.
How do you like my glasses?
I like them.
They're brand new. They can't see them.
Maybe
they can't see them, but I've joined
a picture of you in your glasses.
Maybe not. I've joined the glasses crew, and we were talking, and I was like, I didn't know how bad I needed them until I have them.
Yeah.
And how great it is.
That's what happens. And you're like, oh, wow, this is what the rest of the world can see.
That's right.
It's so exciting. I remember a few weeks ago, you were just sending me like picture after picture of you.
I tried to FaceTime you.
I know. I don't remember what I was doing. I was doing something.
You were working because it was during the day.
It was during the work day. Silly me. I was working.
You were working. Something about me. I'm terrible at deciding things. Like terrible. Like if I go get my nails done, My daughter will usually pick out my nails or color, or like the night before I'll send Kristen like, hey, what should I do? Terrible. And so somehow I was trusted to go by myself to pick out my frames. Terrible choice. So I'm sitting there. It's the middle of a work day. People have jobs. And I'm like trying to FaceTime people, getting opinions. And I was left to my own devices and the opinion of my daughter.
But they look great.
Thanks.
Here, and now you joined the glasses club.
The glasses club. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, what's going on with you?
Oh, not a whole lot. I was telling Shanna earlier, and then I was like, wait, let's save it, because I basically want to use this point of banter to a slight complaint that has no bearing on really anyone else. You guys are just going to hear me complain for a second or a minute. But I started to talk to Shanna about this, and then I was like, wait, no, I gotta save this. So I have a dilemma, and the dilemma is I want a good haircut, but I also don't want to pay the prices that haircuts are requiring. So for those of you that don't know, I have very curly hair, and it's always been a struggle to find someone who cut my hair. And I found someone finally, and she's done such a great job, but her prices have exponentially gone up. And that's what Shanna was asking me. I was saying that I just want to find someone that can cut curly hair that isn't going to charge me $150. And Shanna had asked me if that's how much I had been paying. And no, that's not how much I had been paying. So she started off at like 40 or 50 and slowly has gone up. And she just, and moved to a less convenient location. So like before she was about 15 minutes away from me. Now she's like down towards downtown, and it's like a good 30 or 45 minutes for me to get there. And then you have to pay for parking. And then, yeah, she just redid her structure for like her hair stylist fees and everything. And for my hair, it's $145. And I don't want to pay that much, because that's before a tip.
That's
and that's not coloring it. That's just a haircut.
Yeah. So that's a lot of money. Do they?
In morning.
I'm curious. Okay. So if you haven't seen Kristen's hair, highly recommend. Go to our website and look at her picture, because it's awesome. and I've seen you for a while just cut your own hair, which stressed me out a little.
I'm kind of back to that.
You're great
point
at
now.
It. And it's curly, and my hair. One day I'll have my husband on here to tell you the story of the first time I cut his hair. And I don't remember if we were married or not. I don't think we were. And I'm surprised we are, because like his hairline, like the back of his hairline was like above his ears.
Oh,
like,
no.
I kid you not. It was so, I just didn't stop. It was so bad. And he was so gracious. He's like, it's not that bad, but I'll finish this.
I'll finish. Thank you.
So poor Ollie. I can't cut his hair. Like, everyone goes, gets their hair cut around here.
Yeah.
But do they, because of your hair, do they cut it dry?
Yeah. So they'll cut it dry. And then because with curly hair, if it gets wet, it's obviously longer than where it normally dries naturally. And then so they cut it dry and then wash it and style it and then kind of clean up any ends or anything like that. So it is a lot. And I do recognize that it's like a decent amount of time that it takes. And this girl has gone and continued her education with curly hair and knowing like how to cut curly hair properly and well and all of that. And I can respect that. And I love that. But I want to find someone that just wants to like hang out in the middle, like know how to give a good haircut, but don't worry about learning anything more because I just can't afford $150. And I only go like every 4 to 6 months because my hair is long. So I don't get like a style necessarily put into it. So I don't have to go very often. But even so, that's just
like adding having to pay to park and things like that.
It's just a lot for my hair. And curly hair, so I'm just problems. Over here in mourning because I don't have a hairstylist anymore. And I'm very sad about that.
I will not do that for you.
You know, that's okay. I will I will cut my own.
It's fine.
I'll just buy myself hair cutting shears and start chopping away at it. Which I had done so good because like the first couple times that I had gone to her, I like sheepishly was like, yeah, I still kind of pull out my hair cutting scissors and just cut a curl that isn't behaving. And I had done so good in trusting her that she knew what she was doing and she was cutting it. And I was like, I'm no longer cutting my hair on my own. And now here I am back to it. But so if any of you know of a good person that can cut hair, curly hair at that in the Cincinnati area, hit me up, please let me know because that isn't going to charge me $150. Because that's the other thing is that I was like, okay, so I'm going to start looking on Instagram and trying to find someone to start to follow to see their work because I want to kind of vet them first because anyone can say that they cut curly hair, but not everyone can cut curly hair. And so I found this one and I was like, oh, okay, she looks promising. And then just like 2 days ago, she posted and she's like, I just gave myself a raise and restructured my hair cutting fees. And she's up to $150 too. And I was like, dadgummit. Here I was. I was like, oh, this is a promising one. Maybe this person will be able to cut my hair. But
it makes me wonder with like everything, it seems more expensive. Like everything. I just wonder if a lot of their product and stuff.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's just a haircut. They're not using product on you.
Well, they are using product, but I mean, because to style it and things like that. But still, I understand.
I meant color. If they're not using color. Yeah.
If there's any hairstylists out there that are getting upset, I get that some people are worth it. And Anna absolutely is worth it. It's just out of my budget now, basically. She's just priced herself out of my budget. And that's totally cool. I just need to find someone within my budget now.
Yeah.
So,
because that's wise.
That's what it is.
You know,
that's my complaint for
that
the day.
Has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
Not at all.
Thanks for sharing. Also, hey, thanks for sharing. Since we recorded last, we are in the New Testament now.
We are. We
read through the entire Old Testament.
Yeah, Matt and I were talking about that, and he was like, wow, I didn't realize how much of the Bible is comprised of the Old Testament. Like,
that we're devoting like 2.5 months to
that we're into October, and we just now got to the New Testament. So,
yeah,
still not too late to join us if you would like to join us.
Nope, it's not. And we would love to have you. I don't even know. When did we? I don't know. My life's crazy right now. I don't even know when we started, but
October 1st, technically,
I read Matthew
was...
5 today. So I know you're not. It's great. Yeah.
October 1st or October 2nd technically was our beginning of.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do know that it is not too late to join us. And
no, it's not.
Definitely should, because time in God's word is not wasted.
Exactly.
And some people struggle with the Old Testament, which, I mean, I really enjoyed it. All the Old Testament points to Jesus. And I really think everyone should be in the Old Testament too. But if you just need to like wet your feet with being in God's word daily, the New Testament's a great place to start.
Absolutely. So. And we're in the Gospels. And again, because we're going through
Jesus is here.
Yeah, exactly. But because we're going through it chronologically, it is really cool to be able to read the same story in each gospel, right? And how it's represented in each gospel, and kind of
I always
put it all together that way.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I always giggle with Mark because he like is no nonsense. Like he just shows up and he's like, Jesus is here.
I appreciate it.
Everything he does is like direct and to the point. He's like, why are we just talking about all these things and we could just say it? He just says it.
It
makes me giggle every time. Okay. Okay. So we have this episode, one more episode, and then our Advent series. And then we're done with season 2.
I know. That's
wild.
Crazy.
That's wild. I am really... Once I say what we're talking about, I don't want to say I'm excited, but I am, because I feel like this issue, I think if you belong to a church, you've experienced it, because we're all sinners and, God calls us into a life of community, and we've got to learn how to walk well with one another. So this episode is on church hurt. So God's design for the church is good. The church is meant to be a place of refuge and worship. It's meant to be a place where believers can meet together and worship God and live in community with one another. But because of sin, the church doesn't always live according to its good design. So church hurt is real and it's painful. But thankfully, the grace of God is able to heal that hurt and allow us to move forward. So this episode, we want to talk about, what church hurt is, how to handle it, what God says about it, and then how to move forward onto the path of healing.
Yeah. I think when you pitched this, or like you discussed, like, hey, I want to do an episode on church hurt. One, we see it all around us, right? And we may have experienced it ourselves in different ways, because there's the aspect of you could have been hurt by your church as a whole, like the whole church itself hurt you. It could have been an individual in your church. You could have been hurt by church leadership. Maybe you are someone who has hurt someone else within your church. Regardless of where you find yourself, this conversation is for everyone, and it's for you know, it's for me, it's for all of us, because I think we just have seen there's been a lot of people hurt from within the church, and it's had a lot of ramifications as people have walked through, and we'll talk about in our next episode, kind of more of the deconstruction and the walking away from the faith, like a lot of people.
Spoiler
that
alert.
Will happen, right? I always do. when we have multiple ones back to back, it's just gonna happen. But
yeah, that's fine.
But we of course want to start off with a definition, or
that's what we do,
because that's what we do. We want to make sure we're all on the same page.
That's right.
And for church hurt, it's an important one to make sure that we are defining it that we are starting off the conversation with it defined. And so everyone is crystal clear on what we mean by church hurt and what we don't mean when we're entering mm-hmm. into this conversation. Mm-hmm. So church hurt is pain or harm that has been caused by the church. It can be a leader, a member, or the church as a whole. People who are Christians and a part of a church and those who are not Christians and a part of a church could experience church hurt. It may have been intentional or unintentional. But it doesn't change the fact that church hurt is real.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to make a really clear clarification. Church hurt and abuse that occurs within the church are very different things. This particular episode is talking about church hurt, not church abuse. So if you or someone you know has experienced spiritual, physical or verbal abuse in the church, the first thing we want to say is that, man, we are so sorry. Like, that was not what God intended the role of the church to be. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage you to tell someone that you trust about this abuse, and then report it to the proper authorities so that it can be dealt with accordingly. So this episode that we're talking about is church hurt that is not criminal in nature. It is not abuse, but it still hurts. It can be a leader that lets us down, or when a friend in the church says something hurtful. It can be when we haven't been cared for properly, or it can be when we have been treated ungraciously by someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus. No matter how we experience church hurt or the impact it has on us, we can probably all agree that church hurt just hits differently, I think. It hits mm-hmm. deeper, and that's because it's connected to our foundational beliefs, right? It can do a lot of damage, and we obviously can experience great joy in the church, right? And great pain in the same week. And so it's really hard to sometimes reconcile this and know how to begin to heal and to move forward. So that's what this conversation's about.
Yeah. One of our goals that we want this conversation to also address and encompass is to help people process and mend their church hurt. We want to be clear. We're not going to tell you to just sweep it under the rug, or allow sin to continue just to keep the peace or in the name of unity or honoring your church leaders. That's not what this is about. But we're also not going to encourage you to separate from the church. We're not going to encourage you to talk about the church in a negative or disparaging way. Like, this is not mm-hmm. what our goal is. The reason is that we want you to grow and learn and to deepen your relationship with the Lord. And as fellow believers, that is done through the church. Mm-hmm. As you said before, churches, they're full of sinful and fallen humans, right? And we mm-hmm. completely understand that church hurt feels like, because we've felt it. I think mm-hmm. everyone can say that in some form or fashion, they have been hurt by either the church at large or by individuals mm-hmm. from within the church, either knowingly or unknowingly. Like, it might be an unknown hurt, yeah, you know,
unintentional.
That's yeah. the word I was looking for. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, God wants us to gather together. He wants us to worship together and to be in community together. That's the way He's designed us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like being in the church body. And I think all of us who have searched for churches can yeah. attest to that when you aren't a part of the church body, it's like something is missing. And when the church body is operating the way it was intended to, it's very beautiful. But this healing doesn't happen overnight, right? It's a process. And in the same way that our bodies take time to heal, church hurt takes time to yeah. heal. But before we get into the healing aspect, we do want to address some common reactions or emotions that we feel when we experience church hurt. So, Shanna, can you walk us through some of those?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a really common reaction that we feel is just feeling really blindsided, right? Like we can have the assumption that Christians in the church are always going to act Christ-like toward me. Like that's an assumption that I can have. Because you are a Christ follower, I expect you to act like that. But in reality, we know that can't happen 100% of the time because like we said, the church is full of sinners. And with that, also recognizing I'm not going to treat people Christ-like 100% of the time either.
Right.
And so I think we can feel really blindsided sometimes. I think we can feel angered if we feel that a situation is unfair or unjust. We can feel angry about it. And being angry over hurt you've experienced is not sin, but it can lead to sin. So when we feel anger over our church hurt, we have to handle it carefully. And that's with humility and grace. We've said often that our emotions aren't bad, but they're not like great drivers, right? Like they're not great. Yeah. They're not great drivers. Like they should not lead us. And it's really easy when we feel angry to operate out of that feeling, but what we should be doing is operating out of humility and grace. Another thing that we can do is just fearful, right? Like church hurt can often give us a deep sense of fear that this will happen again and again. And I mean, no one likes to feel hurt, right? And so that fear of, I just went through that and I don't want to go through that again. It can make you feel like you can't trust people within your church because you don't want to be hurt again. But that's the voice of the enemy, right? The enemy wants division. He wants to break up the church. He doesn't want us to reap the benefits of being in community with other believers. So he will put any thought that will pull us away from the body, right? We know that he is a roaring lion seeking whom that he can devour. Like he doesn't want unity. He doesn't want reconciliation. He wants division. And so that voice, God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? That voice is the enemy. And so that's something to keep in mind. I also think, and this is something I've truly felt, is you can feel really broken. You can feel deep despair because you put your trust in someone and your trust was broken or betrayed. And that feeling, if we're not careful, can really bleed into other areas and other relationships in our lives. And so some may even feel that this feeling of betrayal or brokenness is deserved because of all that you went through. But the enemy can use those feelings to break you down and make you incapable of furthering the kingdom of God. And we don't want anyone to go through church hurt and then to feel isolated or to feel broken and incapable of doing God's work. Like that's not God's heart for us either, right? And so, you know, feeling betrayed is not a sin, but what you do with that pain, how you react, again, where you motivate out of, sin can easily creep in. And so I think our encouragement today is that you don't have to allow these feelings to dictate how you see or experience the church moving forward.
I think, it's also really important to discuss that we have to be really careful about letting our experiences with God's people dictate what we believe about God. The actions of church people don't always line up with God's character. And when we experience things in the church that make us question, hey, is this right? Is this godly? We need to lean into God and not away from him. And remember that our worship of God isn't dependent upon the people of God.
Yeah. That's so great. I think another feeling that we can feel is just spiritual grief. Sometimes church hurt equals loss. It might mean the loss of dreams or hope or the loss of community. You know, sometimes I know, like, I don't have any family here. My church is my family. Mm-hmm. And so if I, it can feel really heavy when someone lets you down, or if there's a confrontation of some sort, like, it can feel really weighty. Mm-hmm. And I think a really helpful question to sit down with and a process, because I'm in counseling, guys, so I know about sitting with these questions. A helpful question to sit down with and process and ask ourselves is, what is it that I'm grieving? Like, what am I grieving? What grief has this church hurt caused in my life? I don't think it's healthy to ignore the things that cause us pain, right? Like, that is not healthy. We have talked about lament on our episode before. Like, the Bible gives us language to talk about our pain and our grief. Lamentations 3 says, "Remember my affliction. I continually remember them and have become depressed. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Says, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll put my hope in him." So I love this idea of, like, I continually remember and become depressed, yet I remember God's faithfulness and his love. And so I think when we're talking about church hurt, I think one of the worst things we can do is sweep it under the rug like it never happened. Mm-hmm. I think it is really healthy to call attention, to sit with and to process, hey, what is this that's hurting me? Like, what mm-hmm. is at the root of what is hurting me? And so those are just some emotions and reactions that I think we can feel that are very real when we're responding to church hurt. And so can you think, like, let's talk about maybe some practical, you are all about practical things. So let's talk about some practical steps that we can take to heal from church hurt.
Yeah, because I think everyone would say, I want to heal from church hurt. I think we would say that and say, yeah, I don't want to stay in it. Sometimes our actions belie that. And, mm-hmm. you know, we do inadvertently stay in that church hurt. And that's kind of why we wanted to talk about some of these practical steps to be able to heal from church hurt. Mm-hmm. One of them is defining the problem, right? And I was thinking through as you were talking about not ignoring those things that cause us pain. And I was thinking about, like, bodily, we don't do that with our body, or we shouldn't do that with our body. And I'm preaching to myself, but if you have, you know, if your arm is hurting or your shoulder is hurting, mm-hmm. you're going to not ignore it, or it's going to get to the point where you can't ignore it anymore. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, defining the problem and figuring out what is that's hurting and what the problem is really important. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people leave the church over what they consider to be church hurt, but it's actually just confrontation or some type of contention between them and a fellow church member. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really important to step back and ask, am I really being hurt by the church? Or is this just a difficult relationship with one person?
Yeah.
Like, and unfortunately, there's going to be those difficult relationships in churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are always going to be people. There's always going to be people in our lives that we struggle with. But nowhere in the Bible does God say, love everyone except for the people that you don't get along with. And then those mm-hmm. people you don't have to. we're still, you know, called to interact with them in a godly way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be able to step back and ask these questions, because we usually can then see the conflict for what it really is, right?
Yeah.
And a thing to note, sorry, if anyone hears my dog in the background, he's in his cage for the night and he does not like that I'm out here. So every time I talk, he barks. So it's great. But anyways, back to Churchard. It's really important to remember and to remind ourselves that God desires unity and reconciliation between his children. So if you're in a place that you're struggling with a fellow churchgoer, it's important to know that the church as a whole has not hurt you, but one fallen person has. And again, we're not saying sweep it under the rug. We're not saying, no, you know, any of those things, because that's not going to fix anything. But it's important to recognize this feeling or this, you know, issue, if you will, for what it really is. So sometimes it's a contentious relationship. But there are other times that our local church has, as a whole, has deeply hurt us. And we've seen this happen so many times, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Where the local church just has failed or has hurt someone. And we want to remind you that God's purpose for the church is for it to be holy, that it is to be set apart for the purposes of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we do have scripture.
We do have scripture. We love the Bible and we want to go back to God's word. So
we do.
We have scripture.
There's many different places where scripture speaks to this. Some of them being Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Mm-hmm. In Matthew, we have, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Yeah. I think as you're reading that, that is the purpose for the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be holy. It's to be set apart. It's to be a light. And when the church acts outside of that purpose, that is when church hurt takes place.
Mm-hmm.
When we are operating outside of God's good design, that is when people get hurt. And there's also, we actually just on Sunday, this was our scripture for Sunday. And I thought it worked so well here. It's 1 Peter 2:9-10. And it's, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. And one thing that my pastor said that I thought was interesting, because I mean, my church is in the news because we're a larger church, and mm-hmm. any type of shortcomings will be in the news. They don't see the repentance and the reconciliation that occurs, mm-hmm. because it does. But one thing that Matt said was, the church might be a mess, but it's God's mess. And he says that we are a people for his own possession. Like, he calls the church his, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we are sinners, we are fallen, and we are not perfect, and the church will not always operate out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Church hurt will occur because we are fallen sinners. And I think so far this has been really, really helpful, just to remember to, like, we need to sit with it, figure out what it is. Is it the church as a whole, or is it one person that I might have a disagreement with? And then just, like, to process it and define, like, what is this that's bothering me? And it is possible to heal to heal from church hurt. But an important thing to grasp is that we are the ones that get to choose how we respond to the things that are done to us. And I think that's a wise word for things out, even not dealing with church hurt.
Right.
That's what we're talking about right now. But
it applies in many different ways.
In general, we get to choose how we respond to the things that are done to us. Will we choose to be someone who hurts or someone who heals? Will we hurt others because we're hurt? Or will we minister healing to those around us? Again, not sweeping it under the rug. I'm hurt. My feelings are hurt. I'm naming so-and-so did this to me, and I am just going to move on. Not what we're saying again. So Kristen, could you maybe say, like, what can we do to move on from this place of I've been wronged, I am hurt, to healing and living in God's good design?
Yeah. So one of the ways is bringing our hurt to the light, and to know it's okay to talk about church hurt. Mm-hmm. But, and it's a big but and a big caveat, because I think it's mm-hmm. really, really easy to stumble into these areas of just straight up sin.
I'm gonna let you read that. I'm gonna stop you halfway through.
Yep.
Because you and I have had this conversation.
It's okay to talk about church hurt, mm-hmm. but we have to do it with honesty and humility. Mm-hmm. We have to avoid slander and gossip.
Say that again. We
have to avoid slander and gossip. That is sin. God calls it out. It is the quickest way to ruin a church and to get that church to break down is slander and gossip. And it is, even if it's not within a church that you are currently at, you have to avoid slander and gossip.
This is something you and I have talked about recently.
Yes.
Because we're seeing this a lot. And I'm like, that just went from talking about hurt to gossiping and slandering their character. Like, mm-hmm. not cool. I think it's okay to recognize the pain, the injustice, and the bullying that went on. Mm-hmm. Yes and amen. It's validating those feelings by acknowledging hurt. Yes and amen. This is not in our notes, but it's a great place to say it. We should never, when we are talking about being, you're looking at me like, what are you about to say? When we are talking about church hurt, or even deconstruction, which we're going to talk about in our next episode, it is one thing to recognize what was done to you, recognize that, I mean, I've been out of fundamentalism now for a bit, but man, like so much of my parenting, so many things are rooted in that, right? I mean, that was 35 years of that thinking. It would be easier for me to say, that was not okay. Legalism was not okay, to get angry. This is where the sin comes in, to get angry. And then instead of moving forward into life with God, I stay there. I slander and gossip about other people or other pastors who are still in that fundamentalist circle. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Instead of moving forward to a beautiful life that God offers and is calling you into, you stay. You stay stuck in this anger. And like, I'm just going to say it, making fun of people in videos and memes is the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing.
Internet culture
I'm getting canceled after this, but that's the same thing.
But internet culture is wild, and it's crept into our Christianity to the point where we think it's okay to, and we're like, oh, it's a meme. Oh, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, those jokes go too far. Yeah. And when we are slandering other people that we would say are believers, are they regardless of whether they are believers or not, this isn't how you should be interacting and treating them and talking about them. But people that are in your family, we are the family of God.
Yeah.
You're gonna spend eternity with a lot of them.
100%.
You are going to spend eternity with a lot of them. And
yeah.
Am I going to, like, again, I want to acknowledge the hurt that you have experienced or may have experienced is real. And we're not trying to gloss over and say that does not exist.
Because we've been there.
Yes.
I've been there. Yes.
One of the reasons we wanted to do this was to call people that there is better beyond that church hurt, getting through that. And we're not saying, oh, rush through the healing or anything like that. But in your healing, you do not want to continue to sin. Sin against you is not a license to continue to sin in your response.
100%.
So just because you've been sinned against does not give me a license to sin in my response, whether that response is immediately in the moment or whether that response is 2 years down the road as you're looking back and realizing that you've been sinned against. It does not give you the license and the okay to sin and to slander and to mock and to just demean and put down people that may believe the way you no longer do and was at the core of that church hurt.
Yeah, I think a really helpful tip of advice here is to acknowledge your hurt and then take it to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not to Facebook, not to
Twitter,
to God.
Twitter's
because honestly, that's one of the first things I'm going to ask you. Did you take this to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
So I think another thing, like talking about not being stuck there, not being in the same spot, is that this acknowledgement of your hurt should be a forward motion, right? Mm-hmm. It should be moving us on to the next steps in healing. I think this next helpful advice, I don't really know how to word this, so I'm just going to say it. And it does come off as something that I would have heard in the IFB. It's like, you just forgive them. Like, just forgive them. I'm like, okay. Like, but honestly, if you look at it as a gift, right? I've acknowledged my pain. We're not skipping over the pain, which I think is what would have been told to me, right? Mm-hmm. Just forgive them. No, we're going to acknowledge, we're going to bring that pain, that hurt to the light. And then we're going to take it to the Lord, right? We're going to sit with it. And then we're going to release the gift of forgiveness. And I think what's really helpful is be specific when you do this. So what I mean by that is you can't do any of this. I can't do any of this apart from prayer. That is the biggest way to be able to move past this is talking to God in prayer. And when you go to him in prayer over this situation, it's being specific. Hey, Lord, so-and-so hurt me, and this is what was done to me. And this is how I'm feeling right now. But man, like, I want to forgive them because you have forgiven me. I want to offer that grace to them because you've offered that grace to me. Help me do it, Lord. And I mean, forgiveness is hard. It is really hard because we are prideful people. That's like part of our sin nature is pride. So it's really important to remember forgiveness is a choice. It is not a feeling. I don't know that you will feel like forgiving this person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice that you make. And oftentimes it's an ongoing thing. I know that, I mean, I have experienced that, not within the church, but the same concept, within just personal lives, like, you know, where when this comes to mind and I'm like, I'm angry all over again. Like it's an ongoing thing. But really it's releasing, this is really important. It's releasing the other person from the obligation to make right what they've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart and our prayer is that they do, because that'd make us feel better.
Yeah.
If they try to right what they've done wrong.
And that
but
would,
really,
and that would be God working in them as well. And so we could rejoice in that.
Yeah.
That God brought conviction, that God brought it to light to them, and that God worked in their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, like you said,
exactly.
It's releasing them from that obligation of having to make it right.
They're not obligated to do it. It would be a kindness if they did.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, our biggest example of this is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like he did this to us. He released us from the responsibility to make right what we've done wrong, right? Like it's only by his grace that we can extend that grace to others. And so I think it's just so important as we're hurting. These are really, really helpful steps to do, but it's also to remember that it's through Christ that we can even do these things. And so I think one of the biggest things that we can do is to talk to him about it.
I think as I was looking over the notes and preparing for this, Matt was sitting next to me. It brought up a discussion about forgiveness and how some people will say like forgive and forget. And it reminded me of when you said about it being an ongoing process. And we were discussing about how it's not necessarily it's not forgive and forget, but it's the commitment that forgiveness is the commitment that you won't bring it back up again. And it's going to be an ongoing process, right? Like it's not going to be, oh, I forgave them, not going to bring it up anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to continue to come up, but it's a continuous, either I'm not going to express it to the person if they're standing in front of me. I'm not going to express it to someone else if they happen to come up in conversation. Mm-hmm. It's, I'm not going to let it affect how I interact or talk about this person is what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it made me think of when you were talking about it being oftentimes it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah. And it goes back to like approaching all of this with humility.
Right.
Even as the one that was offended,
mm-hmm.
even as the one hurting, it's being humble. It's having a humble posture. And I don't think we can't forgive if we're not having a humble posture. Again, this is church hurt. This is not church abuse.
Right.
And not the same thing.
When we're talking about church hurt, if it's a specific individual, and this is completely going off of notes, but we've done this a lot already. I don't want to gloss over or ignore the one of the practical ways. And I know I mentioned earlier about how sometimes it's an individual that has unknowingly hurt you. Go to them and talk to them about it. Don't just leave the church. If you've been hurt
by a person, not the church as a whole.
Right. If you've been hurt by an individual in the church, go and talk to them about it. Like that's what we're commanded to do, is to go and talk to them. And be able to restore that relationship. Don't just leave the church because you've been hurt just not talk to that person ever again for as long as you stay in the church. Because eventually you're going to isolate yourself so much because everyone's going to start hurting you in some form or fashion. You're not going to be able to talk to anyone at your church. I don't want to gloss over that fact that that's a big piece of a practical aspect of it, is to go and not in a confrontational way, but with love and grace and humility to say, hey, you said this or you did this and this hurt me. It could be, and most of the time they aren't even aware that they did.
That's really,
and then you can
it's really hard
that.
To do.
It is. And you can restore that friendship and that relationship. Sometimes they did intend to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can practice forgiveness, you know, the forgiveness yeah. aspect. And they might be like, yeah, I meant to say that.
We can practice being like Jesus.
Cool.
Yes, I think that is really wise because I do think we live, well, I live, speak for me, in an area where there's a church at like every 3 miles from here. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, literally, there's churches everywhere. Yeah. And it's so easy to be like, man, I don't like what happened to me here. This person annoyed me. I'm just going to leave and go join the church down the road. Yeah. It's going to happen there too.
Exactly.
You're literally just going to keep going. And that's not community. That's not doing life together. And so, yeah, I think, you know, real flourishing happens in community. Mm-hmm. It really does. And I think that's really, really helpful thing that you said. You know, I think you and I both know this leads kind of into our next episode, but many, many people who've left the church after suffering really like real disappointment and hurt at the hands of Christians. Mm-hmm. And some have had tragic spiritual abuse by ministry leaders. So when that happens, like it's no surprise that they moved away from Christian community, right? Which we'll talk mm-hmm. about in our next episode. But I think something that's really kind of important to say is that, you know, when we're sinned against by others, like you just said, the natural tendency is to move away from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
When we sin or are ashamed by others, it's just natural to withdraw. I've actually done this recently. I was like, well, I'm just going to chill then, you know? But while this withdrawal may be like a natural survival, like I have to protect myself. That's what it is. I have to protect yeah. myself. I don't want to get hurt again. Like we said earlier, it will never lead to complete healing. Like at some point we must move toward others to find comfort and healing.
That's really good. The fact of the matter is we're hurt and healed in community.
Both.
Both. Community can be really hard because people are really hard. they're just yeah. really hard. But the church is for hurt people. Like we are not all perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, none of us are perfect. Because if the standard of the church was perfection, I would ruin it immediately. And one of my old pastors says, I go to bed loving God and I wake up loving myself. Like it's just, that's how it is.
In your sleep.
Yeah. In our sleep.
And like, I'm a perfectionist, you know, like that's my false story and I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to try not to.
Yeah.
But I would ruin it.
But I would. But the church should be a vessel of grace and healing for those who have been hurt.
Yeah. It should be a place that we can welcome those mm-hmm. and embrace those. You know, honestly, Kristen, I think my church does such a beautiful job of this, creating space for hurt. But it took a lot of wrongs to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of wrongs to get there, a lot of learning to get there. And so we're in this beautiful space now where people feel more comfortable to say, hey, like, this was done to me or whatever. And they're heard, embraced and prayed over, but it took a lot of wrong choices and wrong decisions to get to that spot. You know, mm-hmm. that's the thing about like sanctification is that we're constantly moving forward to be more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that journey is really, really difficult, but nothing's wasted.
Not at all. God uses, conflict in our lives, it mm. one shows us our weaknesses and mm. makes us depend on him more. We know that God is working mm-hmm. in the mess, mm-hmm. just in the ickiness and grossness that we find ourselves in. Mm-hmm. We know how church hurt feels to us because that is a lot of what people are actively walking in, but what we don't know is how God is going to use that hurt. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful to know that God can take the hurtful things that happen to us, work in it, grow us and sanctify us, bring us closer to him, and that it can help the gospel continue to go forth.
That's right.
I think a really beautiful thing that you wrote here is that church hurt does not stop the plans and purposes of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really hope that this episode is helpful, because I think our heart, I mean, literally these next two episodes is the reason we started Growing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
We've just seen a lot of people hurt by the church. A lot of people walk away from the church. And what we want to say is that, like, that was not God.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't do that to you. And he's beautiful and he's worth pursuing. And the way we do that is in community. That is, you know, like, yes and amen to studying the Bible for ourselves. We're going to talk about that in deconstruction as well.
In deconstruction.
But there is something about doing it in community.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way God designed. We see it all in Acts. It's the way that the church was set up, was in homes with other people, you know? And when we are with other people, it's going to be messy. But God's design for the church is good. And by the grace of God, he's able to heal our hurt and allow us to move forward. And so with that, that's what we're hoping to encourage. I hope this is encouraging news that we can move past this and move forward and not stay stuck. But some people do. Some people do stay stuck and they leave the church and they turn on the faith. And that leads us into our next episode. So come back for a riveting conversation
on deconstruction.
On deconstruction. It's sure to be a good one.
It is going to be a good one, as I feel like they all are. But that's my personal opinion, because
I do too.
It's us talking. So
that's right.
Well, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.